So God has made us kings and priests, and we can really be happy about that. We can be satisfied with that, knowing that although God only has one begotten son, only one child who came directly from him and came from him as God. Knowing that the Holy Spirit is God the Spirit, who also proceeded directly from God. We're born again as the Holy Spirit does his work in us and changes us. And the change is not complete from the moment that he does what he does. It's a process, as we know, and we're continually undergoing change. Some people like to use the word transformation, until finally the point is going to come at which we will be perfected. And I'm thinking particularly about when we're glorified, when not only will our spirits be perfected, but eventually our bodies also will be perfected. Then we'll be glorified in the earth, all the creation. We'll shout and rejoice that the children of God will have finally been glorified. Not just born again, but glorified. So we're born again by giving us a second birth, and this time a spiritual birth, rather than the initial birth, the first birth that was all about physical. And I say physical, definitely our spirits were involved, just like the spirits of our parents were involved. That's how we have some of their personality traits. So we were born on whatever date we were birthed from our mothers. Then we were born again at whatever date our spirits were renewed, and we received Christ Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and the Spirit of God entered us to live in us and to live through us. What an awesome, awesome gift for God the Father to have said, you know what, this is what I want to do for you all. For God so loved the world. He loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten son, who obediently came to this earth the same way we come to this earth, with one exception, one difference. Whereas you and I are here as a result of a man and a woman having sexual intercourse and his sperm fertilizing her egg, the two together reproducing us. In the case of the Lord Jesus, no man impregnated his mother. God, the Spirit, overshadowed her and did whatever he did when he overshadowed her, and he impregnated her. And from the two of them, from God the Spirit and from Mary, the teenage girl, the teenage adolescent, came Jesus as a baby. He was here initially as God, God the Son. Call him Yahweh very often. We read the Lord. And so often in the Old Testament, we're reading about the Lord. We're literally reading about God the Son before he came as a baby who grew up and developed into the man we call Jesus. So here he is, decided that he was going to obey his father, who loved the world so much that he wanted to implement the plan he had long come up with that would rescue men mankind from the power and from the eternal consequences of sin, which is eternal death, which includes eternal separation from the Creator. He already had a plan in his mind, a way that he could change that for many, many, many people. Now, he could change it for anyone who would decide to go with his plan. But anyone who was going to reject the plan, God would honor that decision and not change those people. But here's the deal. He sent his son Jesus. He gave his son Jesus to come and live in perfect obedience to him so that the Lord Jesus could be the man who would be the perfect sacrifice for all the rest of mankind, having lived a perfect life of obedience to his Father. So he would serve as a substitute for the rest of mankind, dying for our sins and having his Father, whom he only loved all of his existence, forsake him, turn away from him as he suffered, even hanging on that cross that they nailed him to because they hated him, because he was a righteous man who loved God and served his Father faithfully and lived to glorify his Father, to have his Father look good in the sight of man so that people would see the goodness of his Father and praise him, love him, adore him. Some people hated Jesus having lived that way, and so they killed him, just like they killed so many people before him who also pleased God. They killed him, but only because he allowed them to, so that he could serve as the one who would give up his life for the rest of mankind, knowing that he was going to be raised from the dead and he'd eventually go back to heaven to be with his Father again, never to be separated from his Father again. And then serving as the awesome priest of the highest order, who could help any one of us who would look at what he had done for us, how he gave his life for us, so that as we decided, you know what, I need to be set free from the power of this sin that has me separated from my Creator, so that I can become connected to my Creator intimately and be given power by God to live in such a way as to please God, who would become my Father once I surrendered to the Lord Jesus, once I surrendered to God. And we surrender, invite him to live in us, commit to allowing his power to help us live better lives that are more and more pleasing to God, progressively and continually more and more pleasing to our God, to our Creator, so that we receive eternal life and receive that eternal life so that we would not have to face the alternative, and that is reject his son Jesus and all that he did for us, and as a result, be eternally condemned to torment and suffering, including the torment that a lot of people don't think is real, the torment of being forever and completely separated from the Creator, never to enter his presence, never to experience any of the joy, the peace, any of the benefits that he can give people. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, so that whoever believes in him should not perish, but should have eternal life. Who is God? God is the one who loved us so much that he gave his son, knowing what he would go through, so that we wouldn't have to go through some of the stuff we'd have to go through, especially in the eternal scheme of things, as a result of being disconnected from our Creator.